We move closer today to the climax of David's psalm. If you're like me, we've given up the struggle of trying to wrap our arms around this psalm. It's just too much. But instead, I have surrendered, and many of you, I believe, have surrendered to the desire to let it wrap its arms around us. Amen? Have you been experiencing that? Have you felt its embrace yet? I don't know if this has done much for you, but it's done wonders for me. As I've sat and considered this psalm every day for 5 months, as God's been able to work words in my heart that I already knew about, but they became life to me. Amen? They became life to me. And when the scripture becomes life to you, incredible things can happen. Well, I want you to stand with me if you would, and we're going to again confess aloud our relationship and journey with the Lord our shepherd as we follow along our footsteps and confess afresh the words of David. Would you say them with me? You can do it from memory or follow along on the screen. Are you ready? Let's do it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Are you ready for today? As we take one step closer, You anoint my head with oil. Father, as we consider fresh again the words of King David, may it unlock in our hearts the intimacy of our relationship with You, and may You illuminate these truths to us, that they might embrace us. It wouldn't just be something fun to know, but it could be life-changing for us. Anoint our heads with oil. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. If you haven't realized it yet, David has taken us on a journey in the life of a sheep over an entire year. We started months ago at home base. You know, that's the ranch, all right, where the sheep live. Everything is provided there. It's the safest place to be. We found the sheep getting up from that place and going out to the pasture where they learn to lie down, because sheep don't lie down. They sleep standing up, but God's sheep are different. They lie down in green pastures. He led them beside the still waters. He took them through the mountain valleys on their way to where we are today, which is the tableland, the highland, right? What a great place. And we're getting ready. We're going to be returning back home again. But before that happens, there's some things that David is pointing out to us in their journey. This is an important time in the life of the sheep. It's one of the most intimate times with the shepherd. I mean, think about it. Here's the shepherd. He's anointing the sheep. How's he doing it? Is he just going to do it one big swoop across the flock? Do you get the picture? He's anointing them one by one. He's taking time to pour the oil over their heads. This is an image for you and me. This is the shepherd. This psalm is not about good sheep. It's about a good shepherd. This is the relationship that David's trying to get us to understand. If you want to understand the heart of God, then you will understand the heart of this shepherd. David is shouting at us something important. He wants us to know that this relationship is unique and precious, and we have been chosen to stand in this place. Now, the word that David uses in the Hebrew is an interesting word. It's not used a lot in Scripture, but three things, and it will come into play a little later on in this message. First, it means to fatten. The word anoint, as David used it, means to satisfy. Here's a word. It means to paint. To paint. To be fattened, that means to be full. We serve a shepherd who's going to make sure that we're filled up, all right? In fact, next week we're going to be looking at the cup that overflows. Now that is powerful. But today we pause and we think of this anointing that God is bringing to us. This anointing brings satisfaction to the sheep. It satisfies. It brings contentment. This anointing paints us. It marks us. We have been marked, amen? We've been marked by the shepherd. And here's the reality, the three things The three things that the shepherd uses, which Keller has unlocked for us in the natural, why does the shepherd anoint the sheep with oil? There are actually three reasons why he anoints them with oil. You see, it's summertime. It's summertime. We're getting ready to move into the fall. But summer's, they're kind of in the middle, moving towards that fall time, and it's summertime. And as Keller says in his book, summertime is fly time. Summertime is fly time, and the sheep don't like it. In Keller's book, and I'm just going to read to you what he says, well, a shepherd himself, he describes this time this way. He said, sheep are especially troubled during this time of the year, especially by the nose fly, or the nasal fly, as it is sometimes called. These little flies buzz about the sheep's head. They attempt to deposit their eggs on the damp mucous membrane of the sheep's nose. If they are successful, the eggs will hatch in a few days to form small, slender, worm-like larvae. They work their way up the nasal passage into the sheep's head. They burrow into the flesh, and there set up an intense irritation accompanied by severe inflammation. Man, that makes me want to get up close and personal. Amen. Anybody had a nasal fly lately crawl up in your nose and get into your head? You feel a little bit sorry for the sheep? Can you understand why this is a difficult time for them? And David understands it perfectly well. And even Keller talks in his book about how often the sheep will beat their heads against trees and rocks and posts and bushes trying to find relief from fly time. He said they will rub their heads in the soil and toss their heads up and down and side by side for hours at a time. They'll stamp their feet erratically and race from place to place trying to avoid the flies. And you know what's going to happen to them? You remember a few months ago what happens after the still waters? He restores my soul. Why do the sheep need that? Because they can become cast. How do sheep become cast? Well, sometimes it's fly time that does it. Because they get so agitated that they'll start running from place to place and they get careless and they end up on their backs like a turtle. And remember, a sheep, when he is cast, cannot correct it himself any more than a turtle could. He needs somebody to come and help him. And oftentimes it's times like this that cast the sheep. That's why it's such an important time for to have a good shepherd. Some of these sheep, he said, refuse to graze. They refuse to eat in the open during fly time. He said he's even seen sheep drop from sheer exhaustion because they've been so agitated by these flies. And advanced stages of infection from the flies has even been known to lead sheep to blindness. Sometimes the infection becomes so severe that sheep have even been known to kill themselves. Almost doing anything to find relief from the aggravation. Have you ever, anybody here relating to this in your own life? It's no wonder to me as I listen to Keller and consider the life of the sheep, it doesn't surprise me at all that these sheep become frantic and fearful. They even come to points of panic when they see the flies because they know what's coming next. But here's the good news, because the good shepherd will move into action. He will anoint the sheep's head with a special oil. Keller said his mixture was simply linseed oil, sulfur, and tar. He would mix it together, and he would go out to the sheep one by one, and here's the number one reason, to repel insects. Keller made a reference in his book, and I've seen it personally in people's lives. He said, it's almost amazing when you apply the oil on the head of the sheep, he said, there is instant change, immediate relief. He said, it's almost like seconds. And the sheep go from this agitated state to a place of peace. It's all because of the anointing. He said, the aggravation's gone, the frenzy's gone, the irritability's gone, the restlessness is gone. And those sheep who were running crazy now find themselves lying down in green pastures. Anybody interested in that? Do you need that today? Say, man, I would like that. because my life has been like those sheep. And I'm being so irritated and so frustrated with all that. There's so much bugging me in my life. Anything bugging you? Well, the shepherd knows about your situation. He's very aware. He knows about the flies in your life. I don't know what your flies are. We all probably have a different kind. That nasal fly, I think I've experienced him before in my heart. It just crawls up and gets into your head. It burrows into your skin and you cannot find relief from it. But the shepherd knows about this. He knows the vulnerability that we face in this life. He knows the problems of living that come to all of us, and he has prepared something for us. He wants to anoint our head with oil. In Psalms 92:10, it's not on the screen. You can write it down, look at it. The psalmist declares this truth. He says, But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox, and I have been anointed with fresh oil. This is very important because one of the things Keller spoke about in his book was it's important not to let the oil become stale. It's important, he said, that he would mix up fresh batches of oil. And the sheep are not just anointed once, not just twice, but many times a sheep is anointed. I believe there are people here in this church today, you need some fresh oil in your life. You were anointed a long time ago, but you're living off old oil. And God's wanting to do something fresh for you because His mercies are new every... Why are they new every morning? Because even God understands this principle. It's the fresh application of the anointing, that continual application. Paul said, he said, I am being renewed day by day. Why is it once enough? No, because if you're really involved in life and if you're really ministering to people, you're going to leak a little bit, all right? You're going to need some fresh filling. You're going to need a fresh anointing. In Ephesians 5:18, we know this scripture well, don't we? Those of us who understand the life of the Spirit. He says, do not be drunk with wine, which is excess. All right? Watch out for excess in your life. It can come in many forms, all right? Watch out for that. He said, don't be drunk with wine. He said, but instead... This is cool. Be filled with the Spirit. Is that a good thing? He wants us to be filled with the Spirit. Now, this is a continuous action. It literally means to be being filled with the Spirit. Be being filled over and over again. See, I've come to believe in my own life there's one baptism, but many fillings. Many fillings. There's times I have to come to the Lord, Lord, I need to be freshly filled today because I'm kind of running low. Lord, and the shepherd knows that, and he's ready. He's got fresh oil for you whenever you need it. In Acts 2:4, we read that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Wasn't it awesome? They did great things. They spoke with great boldness. Yeah, and then in Acts 4:31, same guys, you know what it said? They were filled again. They were filled again. And they spoke with boldness. I believe the anointing can come on you at any time where God will anoint you for His purposes. Amen? And He's got fresh oil for you every day. God's calling us to a fresh anointing. Number two, the anointing prevents and discourages conflict. Wow. Remember? Go back. Remember, how do the sheep lie down? They have to be free from four things. They have to be free from conflict. They have to be free from fear. They have to be free from hunger, right? Remember, because sheep don't lie down. Well, that's the purpose of the anointing. Because this is another interesting time of the year. What happens towards the end of summer? Something unique happens in the sheep. And Keller says, man, everything changes. It's called mating season. We know what happens at mating season. Keller said he'd be laying in bed, and he knows when it starts because he can hear this butting of heads. And he knows he has to go into action, and his oil now has another purpose. Because those rams, you know, they're walking around among the flock, and their necks are getting puffed up because they're trying to catch the eye of a pretty lady. You know, they know what time it is. And then the other rams come, oh yeah? And we know what happens next, and there's a butting contest. And you know, the shepherd, Keller said, he said this is really his favorite time of the year because he gets a lot of pleasure out of this. He said he'll go and take the rams and just cover them with oil. He said he'll even get some axle grease and just cover them. He said, and then he just stands back and watches as they kind of eye each other. And they start running towards one another and they clash and slide off. He said, I just love to watch the look on their face. He can't stop it. He knows there's always going to be that kind of conflict. But through the anointing, it's discouraged. And he's able to keep them from hurting one another. And I believe that applies to us too. How many of you have a tendency to butt heads with people all the time? Some of you are really good at it. I can tell you there's a time in my life, I spent my life butting heads with people. I always thought it was them, but it was me. It was my problem. And through the anointing, the Lord changed that for me. He changed my relationships from the anointing. You know, we think about the anointing. Well, if someone's anointed, if they speak loud, man, he's got the anointing, he's speaking loud. Or somebody's very demonstrative or very charismatic, that's the anointing. Not necessarily. I believe some of the marks of the anointing are right here as we see them. It will affect your relationships. Sometimes I think because of this headbutting, we become hard-headed. Anybody here hard-headed? You can even become hard-hearted because of this time. But the anointing is here for a purpose because the shepherd knows his sheep very well. He knows their tendencies. He knows what they're capable of. And I can tell you, Faith Community Church is one of the most loving churches I've ever been a part of. Some of the guys spoke about it this weekend. But we are still vulnerable to the flies. And we are still vulnerable to some of the conflict that can come just by getting people together. Hello. Proverbs declares the threshing floor is clean where there are no oxen. It's the only way you're going to have a clean floor. Because if you're going to have wheat, you're going to have oxen. If you're going to have oxen, what do you get to do? It just is. It's true. Is it true in marriage? We're not going to go there. Is there any butting of heads in your relationship? The anointing can come into bear. Remember last week's sermon, we talked about trusting God with our enemies. What do we do with our enemies? How do we trust God with our enemies? Jesus said there are three things you do with your enemies. This is part of the anointing because you need the anointing to do this. He said if you're going to love your enemies, what are you going to do? One, you're going to pray for them. Two, you're going to do good to them. And three, you're going to bless them. And you're going to ask God to do for them what you wish God would do for you. You say, how can you do that? That goes against everything. That goes against the very DNA of me as a sheep. Yes, it does. But that's why the anointing's there. Because the anointing's going to give us something that we wouldn't have on our own. Number three, the anointing for the shepherd heals wounds. It heals wounds. Keller talked in his book how he would go out every morning and examine his sheep. And he's looking for something. Because when they're out there by themselves, they have a tendency to cut themselves, you know, on thorns and rocks. And if they happen to have a wound, he's got his oil with him, his special mixture, and he will pour it on the wounds. Why does he do that? Because if you don't treat the wound, what's going to happen to it? That's right. Infection's going to enter into the picture, isn't it? Same thing's true for you and me. Sometimes our wounds are deeper. People can't see them. Sometimes they're the wounds of the heart. And if you don't deal with them, and if you don't allow the anointing of God to come and heal that, you will become infected with bitterness and anger. It can kill you. It can destroy your relationships. But see, the shepherd knows that, and he's made provision for us, because by ourselves we can't. By ourselves we can't. We can't. I can't. I need the anointing of God. I need God's presence in my life to deal with these things that the shepherd's very aware of. He's very aware of. Sometimes, Keller said, the other thing that happens to sheep is they catch this disease called scab. In fact, one time he said he bought a couple sheep at auction, didn't know they had scab. He said within a month the entire flock was infected. Scab is a very serious thing, but it's a disease of the head. And the way they pass it is they kind of, you know, you ever watch sheep? They kind of, they have this little thing, instead of shaking hands, they kind of rub their heads together. Yeah. Well, if they got scab, guess what's going to happen? Here we have greeting time. I hope we don't have any scab here. How many wash your hands after? Hey, church is a place, time to pass things around. And it happens. You know? Hey, listen, scab sometimes in relationship can be gossip. We gossip. You know, we got to be careful. Watch that scab. But that's what the anointing's for. The anointing helps take care of that. And Keller said it got so bad in his flock one time that the head anointing wasn't enough. He had to dip them. He made a big tank and he dipped them. Now, you couldn't hardly dip the head, so you dip the body, then you anoint the head, because the scab would go all over. Well, there's three, real quickly, three blessings, three fruits that I believe come from the anointing. Now, there's much more than this, but I want to just key on three today, real quickly, in the time we have. Three things that you can receive from the anointing. And I believe God wants to anoint you today. He wants you to recognize you may already be anointed. He wants you to be open to a fresh anointing. And if you are, you're going to see three things. There are going to be this first one is huge for us. I believe that when you walk under the anointing, you're going to have a walk of purpose and assurance. Amen. Purpose and assurance. Look, listen to these scriptures. John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. See, you think you chose him, and he did allow you to respond, but he's the one that set it all up for you to respond to becoming part of his flock. He says, I chose you. I chose you and appointed you. I anointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You want to increase your prayer life? You need the anointing. You need the fresh anointing of God that leads you to a life of prayer. It's almost instantaneous, like the Keller said. It's that quick. When you are walking under the anointing, prayer is going to be the first thing you're going to want to do because of the anointing. It draws us back to the Lord, and we realize whatever's going to happen is going to happen because of Him. 2 Corinthians 1:21-22. Listen to the word of the Lord. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anoints us. He anoints us. He sets His seal of ownership on us. He painted us. He painted us. He marked us. He set His seal on us. He put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Wow, this will help you if you're having problems with those flies and conflict. You just need a new, fresh perspective. You know, I thought it's interesting. Where do those flies go? They go to the head, don't they? They're after the thoughts. That's what's happening to us. That's why we present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. We come up to the shepherd. Here I am, Lord, holy and acceptable. What's He want to do? He wants to change our thinking. He doesn't want us to be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. How's that happen? By the anointing of God, where He sets us apart. 1 John 2:27. As for you, the anointing you receive from Him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it's been taught you, remain in Him. Under the anointing, you're going to see things. You're going to know things that you might not know any other way. It's the Holy Spirit teaching us. It's the anointing. This scripture is not on the screen, but 1 Samuel 16:13, the picture's there, isn't it? What is that picture of? That's King David, isn't it? Samuel's been sent to Jesse's house, because he's going to anoint a new king. What's all this anointing stuff about anyway? It was a sign. It was a sign that someone is going to be separated and God is laying His hand upon them. You have come to Christ and you have been anointed by the hand of God. He has set you apart. He has done a work in you. We were talking at the men's retreat when somebody would take a common vessel and put it in the tabernacle, it became holy. Well, what made it holy? It wasn't holy before, but it's holy now. Why? Because of God's presence and purpose. It's anointed. And what would they do? They would anoint it. In fact, when Moses went up to the mountain, God gave him a special recipe for oil. He said, if you make this special oil, it's going to be holy. And I want you to anoint all the furniture of the tabernacle, everything. Everything was anointed. They just anointed everything. Well, God has anointed you, and you're living in the New Testament, New Covenant time, and God's anointing is present in a greater way than it's ever been before. And I imagine when David wrote these words, I wonder if he thought back to that time. I wonder if he remembered when he thought about the shepherd anointing the sheep's head. I wonder if he remembered 1 Samuel 16:13. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. I wonder if David remembered that when he faced Goliath. I wonder if David remembered that when he had problems with his son. I wonder if David remembered that when Saul was seeking to kill him. See, sometimes you got to realize it's the anointing on your life you have to remember. Doesn't mean everything's going to go wonderful, but boy, you're going to need to remember that. That God put his hand on you and he chose you. You didn't choose him, and he anointed you and he set you apart and you belong to him. Luke 4:18 through 19. This is Jesus is declaring these words. He went to the temple. He was a rabbi. And he got up and he opened the book. No one knew what he was going to read. And he read these words. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." He's anointed me. To what? To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he declares, "This scripture has been fulfilled in your midst." I am the guy. I'm anointed. I'm anointed. God chose him for that purpose. Well, here's the great news. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. The anointed one lives in me. Well, if he's anointed, I'm anointed. Amen. What am I anointed for? Exact same thing. I'm anointed. All the ministry we do must be done under the realization of the anointing. Christ is the anointed one, is he not? They call him the anointed one. And he has anointed us. And he said when he left, he said, "I'm going to go. The Holy Spirit's going to come. I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going to anoint you. Greater works will you do than I've done." Oh, wow. Are you kidding me? No, I've anointed you. You think you're insignificant, but you're anointed. You get up in the morning and look in the mirror. I'm anointed. I'm anointed. I'm holy unto the Lord. I've been chosen. Secondly, we'll move quickly. This is important. Burdens and yokes are broken under the anointing. You want to know if somebody's walking into the anointing? This is one of the ways you know it. In Isaiah 10:27, we all know this scripture well, don't we? But it has an interesting twist to it. He says, "It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulders." Now, you remember Israel, they're under oppression right now. Assyria is heavy on their backs. Great burdens have been put upon them. And the prophet is declaring, listen, this burden is going to be taken away off your shoulders. Anybody need that today? Anybody got a burden on your shoulders you need taken away? And his yoke will be taken from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. What's going to break the yoke? The anointing. It's interesting, in the NIV, in the New American Standard, they have a translation that can also be true. And I thought it fit with David's word. He says it'll be destroyed because of the fatness. Oh, wasn't that one of the words? It's the fatness. Man, I got encouraged by that because now I know I'm anointed. Amen. You're eating too much. No, I'm just anointed. Fatness. In fact, in the Hebrew, it's like the fat that dripped from the ashes of the sacrifice. That's the fatness. It's rich. It's one. He says, listen, the yoke is going to be destroyed because of the fatness, because of the anointing. What does it mean? In other words, God is saying that he's going to strengthen the Israelites, and the yoke that the Assyrians try to put on them, get this, will not fit anymore because they're too fat. Spiritually, the yoke won't fit. It won't fit. They will try and put the yoke on them, but it will break because of the strength of their necks, one translation said. Isn't that awesome? I got some great news for you today. That yoke that's been binding you, it won't fit anymore. Not under the anointing. Under the anointing, the yoke will be broken. It will not fit. What kind of yokes are you carrying today? What kind of yokes are around your neck? How about jealousy or discouragement or fear? The things the sheep were dealing with, right? Bitterness, hurt, pride, envy, unforgiveness. The list goes on, right? Just the problems of living. The enemy is always trying to put that yoke on you. But here's the great news. Under the anointing, the yoke will not fit. It just won't fit. It's going to break. And you know what Jesus is going to do? Here's the cool part. He says, I'm going to give you a new yoke. I do have a yoke too. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Why? Because my yoke is and my burden is You need to switch out yokes. Because some of us got the wrong yoke around our neck. And because of the anointing, I believe one of the greatest blessings of the anointing is to be free from that yoke. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ Jesus has made us free. Do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Don't do it, he said. Don't do it. Zechariah 4:6, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, by the anointing of the Spirit, says the Lord. Listen, your life, there's so many things we can do in the church. We can have jolt classes and we can do all that stuff and we can learn and we can gain knowledge. But without the anointing, what's it mean? It's what God brings to this table. It's the oil. It's this oil. And when you would go to the table in Bible day, somebody's dinner, and they poured oil on your head, you know what that meant? You were an honored guest. It was like us taking a shower or something. You know, after a long journey, I mean, the thought of just pouring oil on you, it meant, we are glad you are here. We are glad you're here. Next week, we're going to look at that cup that overflows. It just keeps giving. It keeps giving. It's the anointing. See, because you have a shepherd who understands your weakness, and he wants you to live in that anointing. And lastly, number three, this is so important to us, isn't it? It is the anointing of joy and peace. If somebody says they're under the anointing, but they don't walk in joy and peace, I'm not sure what anointing that is. But I believe the anointing that God wants to put on you and the anointing that he brought onto the sheep, Keller said, as soon as they got the anointing, instant change. Don't tell me you're under the anointing and your life is the same as it's always been. It's not. You can't touch the anointing of God and not somehow be different by it. I'm not saying we're going to be perfect. In fact, we're going to keep needing that anointing. Lord, I need some more. I need some more, Lord. And he's, you know what he's saying? No problem. It's new every morning. I got a whole flask of here. I can pour it on you anytime. I have fresh oil for you today. Hebrews 1:9. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. When you're under the anointing, you're going to love righteousness and you're going to hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy and gladness. Who needs that today? Am I the only one? The oil of joy and gladness. Who needs that anointing today? God's calling you to this place. He wants to anoint you. You don't need to come to a church service to get it, although it's a great place. You can be driving in your car and God will anoint you just like that. God gives special anointings to people, just like he gave to David. David, I'm anointing you to be king. He didn't anoint anybody else. He anointed David. David, you're going to do this. What's God calling you to do? Whatever it is, you're going to need the anointing. It's God who's going to do this work in us. We're working out that salvation in us, but it's really the work of God. It's God in me, the hope of glory, that's doing this work. It's him. How am I ever going to pastor a church without the anointing? It's just like the Kiwanis Club. We just get together and pat each other on the back and have a good time. But will lives really be changed? Not without the anointing. Not without the anointing. And let me tell you, I can tell you, I pastored for years without the anointing. I did it all in my own abilities and skill. I was able to do some good stuff. But boy, when the anointing came, kicked the game up a notch. Because I realized, and this is something the anointing will do for you, you're going to find out it's not you, it's God. It's his anointing. And when life gets a little tricky, and it will, and when fly time comes, and it will, and when conflict comes, and it will, and when wounds come, and they will, be close to the shepherd, because because he's going to anoint you. And you're going to receive the blessing of the anointing as you deal with these issues in life. Who needs that today? Do you need that? Amen. We're going to come to the table of the Lord. It's the table of anointing. God anointed his son to come and give his life for us, to be broken, to shed his blood. Why? So we could partake of the anointing. So he could set us free. And we could experience all that God had planned for us, that Jesus was leaving, and what he was anointed to do now will be anointed to do. And great things can happen in the earth. I know you're looking around, you're seeing a lot of crazy stuff going on right now. It gets crazier every day. But the anointing doesn't change. It stays. And God's put you here in this time. Do you believe God's anointed you for this time? Has he anointed you for this day? You could live some other time. Why now? Why today? Because God anointed you for this moment. I want you to get up in the morning and look at the mirror and say, I'm anointed. I'm anointed. I've been set apart. I'm holy to the Lord. Amen. Sister House, can you come on the keyboard with us? Would you? Can we have the keyboard too? No? Just the guitar? Okay. Father, we're standing as close to you as we can get. We're asking you to anoint our heads today with oil. The word has been spoken today that you long for us to have peace and assurance, but you want us to recognize that you are the head of all things. And so we bow our knee to you. I think last Friday night, as we were called to the cross, we bowed our hearts in submission to you. And what we were really asking for was the anointing of your presence. Lord, you have called us and separated us unto yourself. Forgive us for trying to do things in our own power. For greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Lord, we want to walk in the anointing. I believe there are marriages here today that need fresh oil. I believe there's those of us even here on the staff of this church, myself included, we need fresh oil. We can't do anything without your anointing. So, Lord, we come to you. We know it's not spooky. It's just your love for us washing over us. Father, I believe there are those here today who are in incredible conflict and frustration and depression and anxiety. The flies are circling all around them, and they need the anointing. Lord, would you give it to us? I know we don't have to beg you for it. In fact, sometimes we don't even have to ask for it. You're already there, ready to pour it out. But Lord, we come to you this morning to this table, and we receive it in all of its glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We invite you to come down the center aisle and take the bread and dip it into the cup. And take it and then go down the side aisles and find your way back to your seat again. God bless you as you come.
My foes are many, they rise against me. Oh, abounding. My soul will trust in you. And I will not fear the war. I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way. My help is on the way. From the Lord, and I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord. And I lift my eyes up.
Had a funny thought, sorry. O.J. Simpson straw. If it doesn't fit, you must have quit. The yoke doesn't fit. You must have quit. You're free. You're free. Because of the anointing. It's not you, it's the anointing. Would you stand with me, please? I want you to go with this blessing of God's love. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship and anointing of the Holy Spirit. As you leave this morning, we're going to stick behind and some others are going to be up here that I believe God has anointed to pray for you. So if you'd like to receive some fresh oil today, it might be your opportunity. You can run from the anointing when you see the shepherd coming with that horn. Say, I don't think I want any of that. You'll be back. You'll be back because you can't do it without it. And so take advantage of the body of Christ today and the provision God's given to you. If you need prayer in your life, we'll anoint you with oil today. You just need a fresh anointing. There's nothing magic about the oil. It's God's presence and purpose. That's what it is. And that's the anointing we're going to walk in. God's going to do some awesome things, I believe. The Faith Community Church, we were sharing. The men Friday dealt seriously with the topic of sexual purity in our lives. And I believe it's the anointing that's going to help us today in our society, in our culture. And I shared with them, had not shared publicly, that God showed me that Faith Community Church is an awesome place, but there is a river of perversion that runs underneath us, probably most churches. It's our culture. Well, I believe God's going to dry up that river in your life. You know who you are. And I'm not speaking to you as one who's never had to deal with things like that. I have. Many of you have too. But it's the anointing that's going to set us free from that yoke. And that river is going to dry up. Amen. It's just going to be like, it's just going to dry up. It's going to be an old, dry creek bed. And it's going to change your life. Amen. I mean, especially true of guys. I know that. But ladies too. I believe God's just, He's going to bring an anointing on us, and it's going to change us. We're not going to stay the same. You cannot stay the same under the anointing. It's impossible. And I believe we're ready to take a hold of it. Amen. Father, bless this church. I love them more than I can say. I think about them all the time. I pray for them every day. And often You bring faces to my remembrance. And I'm just a sheepdog. But You're the shepherd, and You're interceding for us every day. And You long to pour on our heads, and not just our heads. I think You're wanting to dip us today. You're wanting to dip us in the oil of Your anointing. Lord, things are going to be different for us because of the anointing. We love You. We worship You with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you go. Be back next week for the overflowing cup. But we'll be here for prayer. Take advantage. We love you. God bless you.